All right, get ready. We're starting a new series tonight called Now That's What I'm Talking About. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they really just couldn't figure out what you were saying? My wife all the time, she says, you come in the house and you've already started talking in the door, and by the time I get hooked up with you, you're already on the next line and I have no idea what you're talking about. And I go, okay, dear, I'm sorry, let's back up and get it, or I'll switch gears. And she just says, welcome to the wonderful world of ADHD. She says it all the time. God wants us, if we can't communicate, then we can't bring the word. Amen? If we can't communicate, then we're going to have problems anywhere you go, because it's not only can you not give the word, but you can't even talk to your mate. You can't talk to your children and get out there. Because remember, we talked about the four personality types, and the person that has a lot of lying in them, which I do, sometimes I have to look at Linda, and she's looking at me funny. I go, what's up? She said, your lion's roaring. And I go, but I'm not mad. She says, well, you sound mad. I said, I'm not mad. It's just the lion. You know, or somebody's got the beaver. They'll sound mad. And they're not mad. You know, so the same way is in communication, you've got to realize how you're sounding or realize how you're bringing it forth. And I honestly, with all my heart, believe this is the last day. Not only do I believe this is the last day, I believe that, and you can't get what you see, because what we see is not going to even match up what I'm getting ready to say. I believe that this church was put here for such a time as this. It hasn't seen its best days yet. Its best days are coming. They weren't behind us, they're in front of us. And so our best days are in front of us. There's still some wilderness to walk through, but it's coming a day when this place is going to start filling up. And this time it's filled up several times in the last few years. Every time it fills up, something happens and it goes back down. Fills up, goes down. Fills up, goes down. I believe the next time it fills up, it's filling up and staying filled up until God comes back. I believe that. I believe our best days are in front of us. Somebody say our best days are in front of us. So if we're going to have our best days in front of us, what we have to do is prepare. They asked John Wooden, what did he do to get his people ready? And he said, well, if they weren't ready before, he said, if you're not ready before the challenge comes, you'll never be ready when it hits. You got to be ready before the challenge comes. You've got to be ahead on this thing. The same way, we've got to be in front of this, not behind it. Because when it grows, we don't want to commit spiritual abortion. All right? Spiritual abortion. People come and get saved and they go out because we actually have run them out. I heard somebody just a couple of days ago talking about a church that he had been at years ago. And this was years ago and it was nowhere around here. So don't think it was one of these churches. But he said that the church started growing and the people in the church didn't want it to grow. And so started telling people at the door they don't need to come back. That's bad. I'm not kidding you. You don't need to come back. The new people. Because the people coming in were not only new people, but they were different races. And they were different ethnicities. They were just, everything was different about them. And they come in, and as the church was growing, some of the older people people who've been there for a while said, y'all don't need to come back. And people stopped coming. We don't want to do that. I know we wouldn't. But I'm just saying is, right here, we need to learn how to communicate. Amen? I know something ain't right. Eddie's up there. He's looking at me like the professor on Back to the Future. I'm expecting to go 87 miles an hour in a minute, and poof, I'm gone. I'm up into the future or back to 1937. Okay. So what we're going to talk about is you've got to have the message. But you can have, there's people that's had the message, but they couldn't communicate it. I've known people as an engineer, and I've had engineers that knew the stuff like the back of their hand, but they could not seem to apply it. They definitely couldn't teach it. And so they knew the stuff, but they just couldn't put it on paper. And when you got around them, you're trying to show them something, or trying to hear what they're trying to say, and you can't figure out what they're saying. They knew to leave them alone, and they can do it. But as far as involving anybody, they don't know how. The same way, we need to have the message, but then not only we had the message, but we have to be able to communicate it, okay? And I'm not saying anybody in here is not a communicator. We're all called to be communicators. How many here can talk? Well, that's one part of communicating. You know, I found out, I'm taking an advanced course in certified pastoral counseling. And you know that your mental, your physical, your emotional, spiritual is all connected together. Did you know that? And in this day and time that we live in, people are actually having a problem with premature senility. Yeah, look, premature senility. And you know the second sign of premature senility is you start growing black hair on your knuckles. So, look, that, you don't know what the first sign is? Looking for it. Now, we have to be able to communicate, okay? So here it goes. Have you ever paused to evaluate the impact of how you communicate? Not to somebody else. We love to talk about how other people communicate. What about us? I hear people all the time, you know, they're so quick to judge everybody else, or they're so quick to judge something they don't understand, or they're so quick to figure out they know how to fix somebody else, how to make things smoother, how to make things do this or that, and they don't even think about themselves. Realizing that, you know what, sometimes you need to back up and look at me first, then go back out there. So here's what we're going to do today. We're all going to look at ourselves. Just look at ourselves. How many like to have a better life? How many like to communicate better? How many like to get your message across in a better way? How many like to know that when you talk, something good happens? Here it goes. Here it is. Have you ever paused to evaluate and impact how you communicate? This is actually the opening. Next week what we're doing, we're going to do a whole lot of more stuff, but this is just the opening. All right. A thoughtful, encouraging word. These are ways you communicate. A thoughtful, encouraging word. An empathetic comment, a compassionate glance. Have you ever seen somebody do it to you? Just looked at you and you felt better. Hey, have you heard somebody just give you a word? They thought it through and they gave you the word and it was just awesome. And sometimes it was just an empathetic comment. They said, you know, I remember when I went through that. And I found out that God was greater than that, and I thank Him for it. He's going to see you through it too. That's some good stuff. Matter of fact, you are playing right into God's hand when you do that, because now God is using you to lift somebody up and to just be awesome in their life. Speaking words. Just speaking a word to them. You know, it's just amazing. Well, then there is the careless comment. A rude remark. Sarcastic smirk. Careless comment. Well, if you hadn't have been so crazy when this happened, this wouldn't have happened. Have you ever told somebody that? Well, if you just hadn't have been doing that, then this wouldn't have happened. And then later on, you wind up getting through the same situation. And you're hoping they don't say that to you. I remember one day I was told by my COO, go out and rile some people up. I was even told, if you need to, fire somebody. And I told my COO, that's not the way I'm wired. It's not the way I work. You're not going to get me to try to drive people by fear. It's not going to happen. And then he began to commence to try to explain it to me, and I explained it to him. I said, have you ever tried to work with a volunteer army? Volunteer Army is different. I've worked with volunteer armies all my life, and I'm not going to bring it into a paid environment. The fear tactic, I want to bring the love tactic in. And, of course, never fired anybody. I had to lay some people off, but never had to fire anybody. This man wound up being a preacher. And he called me up from Maryland and said, I'm having the hardest time trying to get my people to pull together and work. And the first thing I said was, fire somebody. And he said, they're a volunteer army. I said, yes. Awesome. So see, we're quick to go ahead when somebody's got a problem. Especially if we don't have a dog in the hunt, a pony in the race. If it's not our kid, somebody else's kid, or it's not our spouse or somebody else's spouse, we're quick to just jump and we'll say something so fast. And it'll be just a careless comment. You know, well, if they learned how to drive, they wouldn't have hit. If they could see better, they wouldn't have hit that dog. You know, and then it comes back to you. Also, rude remark. You know, over the years, God told me I was going to have to learn to not be offended. Because things were going to come my way that was going to be offensive. And you know what? It has. But I've learned to let it roll off. Because God already warned me, it's coming, be ready. And God even says, woe to those that are easily offended. Yet you've got to be ready. When somebody has a rude remark, just look at them and go, thank you. And keep on going. But then there's the sarcastic smirk. You know, lighthearted sarcasm is pretty cool because it really is, to me, it's a motivator. You know, and it's also an icebreaker, lighthearted sarcasm. But I had an uncle one time that's all he ever did was sarcasm. And I never understood. I even hated to talk to him. Because every time I talked to him, he was sarcastic. Again, I'm not talking about lighthearted. Lighthearted is fun. I love lighthearted sarcasm. It's fun. I'm talking about heavy duty, in your face, careless comment, rude remark, all wrapped up in sarcasm. And what I found out is, as I started studying it, sarcasm is, first off, it can be led from insecurity in the person's life. And it's their way of avoiding confrontation. Or it's just from anger. And it's a passive-aggressive way to assert dominance and to prevent open dialogue. And so we have to understand, again, lighthearted sarcasm is awesome. I'm not kidding. I think it's awesome. But we got to remember when we're talking, sometimes words come out of our mouth light as a feather, but they hit somebody as hard as a brick. And when that happens, you know, I've watched my wife and I've watched my children. I've watched other people, but especially my wife and my children. I've watched as I was saying something, I thought it was light as a feather. But when it hit them, all of a sudden their countenance changed. I've watched my children cry and run off, Bethany especially. Or I've watched my wife just sink, her whole heart just sunk. And I had to realize, wait a minute, I got to be careful how I talk. I've got the lion in me, and the lion will come out and roar. So, I watch it. The same way in our lives with our family members, with our church family, with people we work with, communication, we a lot of times break down our communication before it ever actually gets a chance to get started. We do it. All right? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. Here's what I want to show you. This part about communication, this is the initial breakdown, okay? You constantly and continually deliver messages that reveal the true disposition of your heart. Get ready. It's not just what you say, okay? It's not just what you say. I listened to, this is right on time because I was listening. How many listened to the press conference last night? At Ferguson. How many listened to what the DA said? It made sense, didn't it? Well, you know what? I happened to hear Al Sharpton today. And Al Sharpton said that there was only one person represented there, and that was the policeman. And he said, he might have given them the evidence, but we don't know how the evidence was given to them. And if we knew how the evidence was given to them, we may take it better, but we don't know. And everybody knows this stuff. They put all the evidence out. The people had the evidence that was read last night in their hand while they were talking. Even Al Sharpton had it in his hand. And he did everything he could to dispute everything they said and to stir it worse. And so I'm listening to all this. I'm riding down the road. I'm getting kind of mad listening to all this stuff. And I was kind of sending some stuff to Linda. Linda said, if we're not careful, we're going to go back beyond the 60s. And again, they said Some of the people last night said, well, we don't know how the evidence was given, and was it given smirkily? Was it given honestly? Was it given blah, blah, blah? And they were saying, these are facts. Three autopsies, they all matched. They're facts. Okay, they were talking about somebody took, said to Brown, they took him and shot him, this officer shot him in the back, bam, 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 bam. And then they found out, one of the persons said, well, I didn't actually see it, I heard that he did that. And then they find out he wasn't even shot there. You know, and so again, communication. Then last night, when the verdict was read, they didn't even wait to hear what the DA said. They started tearing the place apart. So again, communication is so much needed. Here, like from last night, from what I saw last night, it's not just what you say, it's the way you say it. It's the way you listen to others, and it's the way you look at others. That's all means of communication. Remember, you've heard me say it before, do I listen to respond, or do I listen to understand? I catch myself when I'm listening to respond, when I'm waiting, if he'll just shut up, I'll tell him what the problem is. Anybody been like that? If he'll just be quiet, he's running 100 miles an hour. If he'll just be quiet, I'll tell him the problem, he can leave. I'm not listening to understand. I'm listening to respond. I've not even heard a word he said. Because I'm waiting to tell him something. And I can look at people I'm talking to, and I can tell just as good. I hear it in my head. I hear it. I hear it. It goes, they're listening to respond. Just go ahead and be quiet so they can go ahead and respond. So I just be quiet. All right, go ahead. Or if they're listening to understand, then I go ahead and I try to explain why this happened. If somebody keeps telling you the same thing over and over, over and over and over again, what does that usually mean? They don't think that you heard them. So if somebody keeps telling you the same thing over and over and over again, most of the time it's because they don't think they've been heard. When somebody's talking, acknowledge. Yes. Matter of fact, the best way to do it is when they say, well, you know, I really felt kind of bad by the way you did that, and you can go, let me see here. What I did made you feel bad. They quit saying it now because you've acknowledged that you've heard. And again, now I'm not listening to respond. I'm listening to understand. Understanding gives feedback. Listening to respond just tells you what they think. All right? That's what's been going on. I mean, what I heard today, I was listening. And then you want to really hear some colorful stuff. I was listening to Fox and CNN last night. You want to really hear some colorful stuff. Turn it to MSNBC. Wow. When Al Sharpton went to talk to them on Fox, they cut him off. So I said, I know where he's at. He's on MSNBC. I know he's there because he got a show. Sure enough, I turned to MSNBC and there he was. So I was riding down the road listening and I said, wow. Wow. I can't believe what I'm hearing. So here we go. It's not a matter of whether you will communicate. But it's a matter of what you will communicate. Everybody in here, everybody in your life, everybody you talk to, everybody you come in contact with, whether you love them or you don't love them, if they're part of your family, they're your enemy, whatever, everybody you come in contact with, you will communicate. Even if it's just walk away and don't say anything, you've communicated. You've communicated, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I'm walking off. However, you know, I like when we first got Bethany. I'd never seen this before. When we first got Bethany, she was four. We kept her off and on while she was four. We adopted her when she was five. We were talking to her one day, and she got mad at DC or Daniel, and she said, talk to the hand because you ain't got a girlfriend. And I said, what? And she'd be going along, and she would go, talk to the hand because you ain't got a girlfriend. And then we broke it down to just talk to the hand. I said, okay, Bethany, talk to the hand because Daddy ain't listening. Okay? I didn't leave the room. I just held my hand up. All right. So now, whether you encourage, no matter what, you got to think about this. Are you going to be an encourager or a discourager? Are you going to help or are you going to hurt? Your communication originates, listen carefully. You might think it does, but it doesn't. Your communication does not originate in your mind. It originates in your heart. Wow. See, this is all intellect. Look, just do this. Don't do this like I did with Brother Billy the other day. Do this. Okay, literally in the Hebrew, when it talks about your heart and your head, it talks about it all. Just put a line here. When your head, intellectual, here down is emotional. Your thoughts originate here, and they move to there. And so if you're being led by the Spirit, led by the Word of God, that's where it all gets straightened out. So by the time it comes out of here, it's good stuff. But if you're not led by the Spirit, led by the Word, if you're not trained, then what comes up goes out. And what comes up goes out can be very harmful. You can destroy in one sentence what you've been working on for years. So it's very important. Understand, here's where it originates. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34. So what is communication? Relational communication is a process of verbal and nonverbal interaction with others in which thoughts and feelings are shared and understood. And that is, the receiver of the communication hears what is said and understands what is meant by the sender. They hear what you say and they understand what you say. That's communication. They hear what you say or see what you say, because if it's, you know, watch this. I want to help you. What do you think? I want to help you. If I go, okay, I'll help. Now what you think? Yeah, look. Well, watch this. Yeah, talk to me. I want to hear what you got to say. It's important. I want to hear. Let me hear. Or, I'll get to you in a minute. Yeah, sure. That's right. Which way have you heard me? Now I'm putting my body in, my motion in with my mouth. And so people are watching that. And so it's important when we're communicating that we understand there is verbal and there's nonverbal interaction in everything we do. And you want the people to not only hear, but to see what you're saying. That's why text messaging, don't ever argue over text messaging. If you're having a problem with somebody, your friend, your sister, your brother, you're having a problem with your spouse, and y'all are at each other's, y'all ready to throw down. Don't throw down over text in texting. You know why? Because I don't. Yeah, it tickles me. I get my boys there, or get somebody with me, and they go, "You know what they said?" I said, "What they said?" They said, "I don't want to have nothing to do with you, and I'm just not going to blah, blah, blah." And I go, "Did they really say it that way?" And they said, "Well, they texted." So you heard that text. "I just don't care." I was up here one night, and we were doing praise and worship, and I had actually sent something. Ricky, one of my guys from Benson, he sent me something. And I said, I just sent him something back earlier that afternoon. "I really didn't understand what you sent. I wish you would try to send it again so I can understand better." And he wrote, "I resent that." And I put it up and looked and said, "What?" I said, "Let me get my hands on that young fellow. He resents me trying to get it back." And so I looked over at Linda and said, "Linda, look at this." He said, "He resents this." She said, "No, he said he resent it. Look in your email." So if you are trying to convey something strong to somebody, do not use text messaging. Text messaging is for all kinds of good stuff. It's wonderful. You can send information back and forth. But here's why I tell people. They go, "Well, can you please tell me what's going on?" I say, "I will call you. Tell me when to call you, because this is too long to be text, or this really doesn't need to be text." All right? So don't think I'm going to send them. "Well, I told them off. I just sent them a text." You know what? No, you didn't. And people tickle me. "Well, they said this." And I go, "Well, when did they say it?" On that text message. Now, and then, in text messaging, if you put all capitals, what does that mean? Yeah. All right. So, I had somebody, I was asking, "Well, how's your son doing?" And they sent me a whole thing. Someone's in the hospital. This whole thing. I thought she was mad at somebody and find out that's the only way she can text with capital letters. I said, oh, they text with capital letters. Oh, okay. I feel better now. Communication is important. If you've got people, you've got boots on the ground, communication is important. I talked to a recon just a few days ago. I talked to a Marine recon. And he said, and he was pararescue. And he said that he would come in, he had a dual role. He actually flew in the helicopter, he was a machine gunner in the door. And once he landed, he jumped out and took care of the people, put them back in and carried them to safety. And he said before he was ever sent, he would ask, where am I going? What is known about the enemy in that area? What kind of tools and weapons do they have? And what is their known warfare? That way, when I go in, I know what to expect, and I can bring something bigger and badder than what they got. Do you know why Custer died at the last stand? I know because he got shot with an arrow. I understand that. But do you know why Custer died? Miscommunication. Yeah. Well, he first didn't realize it was the whole nation, plus because of miscommunication. Some of his people he had on each side to help come in and help him. One guy got shut down and could not send him the information that he was shut down. The other guy, he was fighting his way but couldn't get through. So here he is all by himself. He's thinking we can take these odds, but he thought the odds were like 3-1. The odds were like 100-1. And so here he is, 100-1 odds. And then he tries to get some help. So he sends a man with a wagon, or sends a man out and says, bring wagons, we need help. He sent a man that could hardly speak English. And so when he got to somebody to tell him, we need wagons, we need help, he thought they meant they were killing so many Indians, they need wagons to put them on, to bring them in. Now, so I can't say for sure if he'd have lived or died in that situation, but I can tell you this. There's a whole lot better chance he would have lived if all the communication had been there. There was no communication. Now, everything was broke down. Everything was broke down. They picked a bad time to make the announcement. They had people there guarding, but then today Al Sharpton said, and the other guy said that, yeah, but they said the only people they were trying to protect were the white folks, and their neighborhoods were protected, but they weren't protecting right there in the middle of it, and they were just stirring more racial strife. And if somebody would get up with the word and bring the word, I believe something could have got a lot calmer last night. Okay. So now, I'm trying to hurry up. Verbal communication conveys thoughts and feelings with the spoken word. Y'all say spoken. Spoken. The spoken word. Both choice of words and tone of voice. So watch this. You're coming into whatever we're doing and you're late. And I look at you and go, no problem. I'm glad you're here. Come on. What you going to feel like? Cool. So everything's pretty good. But if you walked in the door and I went, it's okay. Come on. Now what you thinking? That's right, Brother Billy. We just want to sit home. So again, it's not only the words that you say, it's the tone of voice. And then there's nonverbal communication, especially your thoughts and feelings without words, your facial expression, your body posture, hand gestures, direct or indirect eye contact. You know, I can always tell, you know, if somebody's upset with you, really upset to the point where there's going to have to be some forgiveness given, and until that person forgives you and back and forth, you have an IOU over your head. mentally. There's an IOU over your head. And so that person forgives you, the IOU is still there. So every time I look at you, I'm thinking, you owe me. And everybody's going to walk by and you're smiling, but you see that person, all of a sudden the IOU pops up and you go, yes. And so to avoid that, you know what they usually do? Won't look you in the eye. So if somebody come up to you, talk to you, and they're kind of, and it's kind of throwing things at you from the side, know that somewhere down the line there's been a breakdown in communication. Something's going on because of their indirect eye contact. Patient and impatient listening, gentle and rough touch, style of dress and clothing, apathetic or silent responses, use of money or gifts. This stuff here is nonverbal communication. And it speaks just as loudly, sometimes louder than your words, because just your words, and when you're texting, you can't see all this stuff. You don't see it. So again, texting's cool if you want to put it, look, if I know there's 10 people wanting to know how somebody's doing, they just had operation, they just went in, y'all pray. Then the doctor says it's not doing good, all right, it's not doing good, y'all pray. You know, I would not put, we lost him on a text. I wouldn't. I'll say, can I call you? Again, texting's good to send information. Texting's good to communicate information, but it's not necessarily the best to communicate. Does that make sense? Okay. And I hear about all these people that break up with their girlfriends and their boyfriends on text messaging. That's pretty rough. yeah. I think things aren't going good. She write back LOL and they write back DD. What's DD? Drop dead. Okay. Okay. So now, the Hebrew word debar or debar, which means word, is used in the Old Testament to express the concept of communication. It implies speaking about a matter. The Bible refers to God to it as God's word speaks to us about God, and is one of the ways God speaks to us in matters pertaining to life. Old Testament language also speaks about the life-giving power of God's word. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent forth His word, His debar, and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. In the New Testament, Greek logos is not just the expression of thought or concept of an idea, but refers also to the name of an object. So in the first chapter of John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos signifies the divine expression of God. So the Word became flesh and dwelt, had made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Here's how I'm going to end it. Next week we're going to do the Ten Commandments of talking. Okay? The Ten Commandments. Isn't that pretty cool? The Ten Commandments of talking. So please be here. If you know somebody that might be having problems conveying something, get them here. And if they don't want to come, get more copies and pass them out. You can pass these copies out. It's fine. All right, ready? How can I communicate with others in a way that is most pleasing to God? Answer. The method of communication most pleasing to God is one that reflects Jesus in all you say and do. I've used this a lot when I do any type of counseling, but especially relational counseling. When I'm doing relational counseling, here's what I tell people all the time. Use redemptive words. Whenever you're in a relationship, problems in a relationship, use redemptive words. What do you mean by redemptive words? I could easily say, this is going nowhere, and I'm pretty sure that we're never going anywhere with this, and so let's just don't talk. Men, that will definitely kill your chance of talking to your wife, because she wants to be relational. She wants to talk. See, women, and this is not a cut down on men or women like the novel And men like the crib notes. Okay? It's like when a baby's born, the guy goes in with his friend and says, "Hey, check him out. He looks like Uncle Fred. Yeah, he's bald and got no teeth. Amen." And they go, "Wow, is he healthy? He's healthy. Good. Congratulations." That's it. Men want to know how long you were in labor, how long you were in delivery, you know, blah, 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 blah. Because women want to know. And here's where the problem comes with men and women in communication. Two men can ride down the road together and ride for an hour and go, "Hey, check that out. It's cool. You ever had one of those?" "Nope." A little bit further. Hey, look, check that out. I don't know how to do that. I don't either, but it's pretty cool. You want some coffee? Sure. So I'm getting some coffee, driving back down the road. You rode down the road for 30 minutes an hour, and that's all you've done. You said, "Man, we had a good time." Yeah. And women, when they're talking, they want to talk. And that's not a cut down either one. It's the way God made us. Just the way He made us. And women, they want to know, they want to talk all about everything. And so what it is one of the, I almost did it the other night, but I didn't want to get into it when I was doing the marriage thing. One of the top needs of a woman is communication. And if you look at man's top five, communication is not on there. Okay? With a woman, two or three, you've got to do with communication. And guys, you don't even see communication up there. So, again, a guy sitting in a chair and you go, "Did you have a good day today, dear?" "Yep." "Well, everything come out all right?" And the husband goes, "Yep." You ready for supper?" "Yep." "After supper, that was good." "Yep." "Can you think of anything else to say tonight, honey?" "Yeah." "Can you pass me the remote?" He's talking. Am I telling the truth? He's talking. And you're going, "That ain't talking." And so then I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, and all of a sudden now John Wayne's getting ready to jump on the train and take on 25 Indians. So I'm worried about John Wayne. And then Linda goes, "Did you hear about?" "Well, yeah, but can you give me the crypt notes?" "Nope." By the time she gets through, John Wayne's all killed all the Indians. Now they've got him. And I look at her and say, you know, one day last week, something happened. And Linda and I were sitting there talking. And we were talking back and forth, sitting on the couch. And I'm watching this. I mean, I'm so intense in this thing. And she stops me. And so I know that if I go, uh-huh. There goes that verbal, nonverbal. I'm watching the TV going, uh-huh. So I just stopped and said, "Sure. Yeah." And when I turned back around, she said, "Well, who killed him?" I said, "I didn't know he was dead." I turned my head for just a minute. They killed him. And I turned back around. I don't know who did what. So I watched the rest of the show, and it took me all the way to the end of the show to find out who killed him when I could have been sitting there watching. This wasn't John Wayne. This was Big Valley. This was Big Valley. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm getting intense in this thing. I like cowboys and Indians. Anyway, I'm watching this. I'm getting intense. And then she goes, hey. "Uh-huh. Sure. All right." She said, "Who killed him?" I said, "I know he was dead." I mean, when I was there, they were having a wedding. By the time I turned my head, they were having a funeral. And I said, who is dead? The same person that was getting married is now dead. And I'm going, I don't know what in the world is going on. Okay, so again, so much. Use redemptive words. Instead of going, "This is going nowhere. I think we're never going to get anywhere. And we need to quit talking about it." That's not redemptive words. Watch this. "Dear, right now, I think we're both a little edgy. We're both a little emotional. And I think that we can pray. We can pray right now if you want to. If you want to, we can just, you go over here and I go over here. And we'll just sit back and think, or we'll read our Bibles or something. And when we come back, we're going to come back with the thought of we're going to work this thing out. And we're not going anywhere until it's worked out. What's the number one need of a woman from Sunday? Number one need of a woman? Security. What's the number one need of a man? Respect. So watch. I just gave security. Okay? And then she goes, you know, that's a good idea. We'll do that. If you think it's about to work, we'll try it. There goes the respect. Well, I go, it's never, it's how I use redemptive words. But I go and say, this will never work. Don't even talk about it anymore. And then go, well, you don't ever want to talk about anything. Here we go. Security, respect. Okay? So we got to be careful. So, the failure to communicate. Yeah. That means allowing Jesus to be Lord of your life, allowing Him to express His words and actions through you. Colossians 3:16-17 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether it's word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So now, if you'll let your words be redemptive, wow. It's just amazing. Just think about how your words are coming out. Am I spitting out a brick or am I spitting out a feather? Am I spitting out redemptive words or am I spitting out destructive words? Because if I'm spitting out destructive words, it's just going to get worse. It's going to end communication or either fire up the negative communication. But if I speak redemptive words, it'll calm everything down. Eventually. Maybe not to start with. But eventually, because sometimes it's just, you know, a lot of times I tell people when we go into counseling, now I tell them this, we're not solving anything tonight, we're just going to stop the bleeding. And they go, wait a minute, what do you mean? I said, we're just going to stop the bleeding, and then next week, we'll start working on it. We're just going to stop the bleeding, and y'all got to calm down, and then we'll go into it. And that really works well. Ready? I want us to pray. You can come up here if you want to. You can stay at your seat. Remember, ask God. I want you to ask Him, do I speak in a way, number one, do my words, it's like that guy that's like said, we heard all these testimonies, but it did not match up with the autopsy. And then they said, we got all these witnesses that told us what happens that matches with the autopsy. And the very first question they asked was, were they white or black? And they said they were black, but they couldn't tell their names because they were afraid to tell their names. And along with that, but in a grand jury, they don't have to tell their names. Now, when they go on trial, they may, unless it's closed doors. And so, then they want to know how many was on the jury, how many black and how many white was on the jury. And it's just constantly, in other words, saying that they were not going to be satisfied no matter what you told them, some of those people. And some of the people were going to be okay. And so, again, I can tell you one thing, but if I'm doing another, I can tell you I love you, but I'm sitting here punching you right in the nose. I love you, I love you, I love you. Guess what? I'm not buying it. Okay? The same way, you got to be careful. I always ask that your words, God, let my words line up with my actions, let my actions line up with my words. When I'm talking to people, I really have to stop and think and deliberately go, am I listening to respond or listening to understand? And I literally have to stop and say, is my body language equaling what I'm saying? It's very important.
Trying to figure out this is so important. God's got these questions. And when people start coming in,
God's going to send in people that are hurting. And when the hurting come in, you got to be able to communicate with them. And the way to communicate with them is you have to do it in redemptive style. And when you do it, it's amazing. Matter of fact, you'll get more out of a person. He could be shut down. He could shut down from everybody else, but or he or she. But you be using redemptive talk, and they'll open up to you. You watch. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for this night. I thank you, God, that we are not.
So that we can communicate, that we can have grace, we can have a whole truckload of bread. Don't get Mark Gray's going to be here some of the morning. Yeah, he's going to be here, so he's going to sing. I thought we read it 3 or 4, but he's going to be here. And some of y'all have heard him a lot. He's going to be here. God, you can look at him.
And the way we talk and the way we treat people have a lot to do with the way we feel about it and the way we do it. And we ask